Donation to KBOO at 877-500-KBOO. That's 877-500-5266. And news from the Boo will include Mike Crenshaw talking with a young filmmaker. It's an amazing, amazing thing that's coming up. This is, again, about local culture, local news, local people, things that are happening in your community that you should know about. It's not just blockbusters. It's people coming up in the community, people that we will be proud of 10 or 20 years down the line. But right now, we should be proud of them right now.
All right, Mike Crenshaw, a local Portland hip-hop artist, also was the station manager here at KBOO. Support, this is all community, 877-500-5266.
Good evening. You are listening to another episode of News from the Boo. And this is during our membership drive, so by all means, pick up that phone and give us a ring down here at KBOO, and become a member today or go to kboo.fm and join KBOO now. This is Mike Crenshaw bringing you news from in and around the KBOO community on a regular basis. And today I have a very special guest, a returning guest, Angie Jimenez, who is a student at Alliance at Benson. And Angie, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good.
Yeah, so we're here to talk about, we talked a few months back about this film project that you're doing, and now you've completed the film project, and you're actually going to be premiering it at the Mission Theater this week.
Yeah, I'm kind of nervous, but yeah, we're doing it.
So do you remember, I remember when we talked before, we were talking about what the project was about, and your Mayan heritage, and specifically your Mayan heritage, tracing it back to the village that your family is from. And at that time, the film wasn't done yet. Well, what can you tell us about the process and tell the listeners about what this means to you and what it feels like to have it completed?
Well, now that it's done, I feel kind of relieved to let people know that how my culture is and what I want them to learn about, and not to just, like how I said before, not to just categorize as just like all as Mexicans, but to really know in depth like what the Mayan culture is. And I'm just really excited for people to see what I've done.
Yeah, I remember learning when I talked to you the first time that Mayan culture differentiates throughout regions in Mexico alone. And then also that Mayan culture, we know, extends beyond the country of Mexico through different regions of Central America. So specifically, the village that your grandma and your ancestors are from, what's it called?
San Yucatan.
San Yucatan, and how is that spelled?
D-Z-A-N.
Okay. And that's that's one of the Mayan languages? Because there's multiple Mayan languages, correct?
Yeah, there is.
Wow. Is Yucatan a Mayan word?
No, it's just the name of the place.
The area?
Yeah.
I had to teach a class recently and at the Black Student Success Summit. And people brought up the Olmec heads that are on the Yucatan Peninsula.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was interesting. Do your folks have any type of mythology themselves about that?
They don't, because back then, they had, the only way they could travel is mm-hmm. with their bikes. Mm. And they were nowhere near a place that was, like, where the pyramids were at. So, yeah. They really couldn't, go and just travel around. It was mm-hmm. just basically their little city where they were stuck at.
Wow. So before we get into the film, which we're going to share with our audience, at least the audio of the film, which is in Spanish, and you're going to translate for us. One of the things you talked about before was your mom, your grandma are multilingual because they speak their native tongue.
Yeah.
And then they also speak Spanish.
Yeah.
So you understand the Mayan native tongue that your folks speak?
I do. I just have trouble trying to speak it because mm-hmm. they have that accent, and since I'm so used to talking in English and Spanish that I really don't practice that accent that they had or the language, but I fluently understand it.
Okay. And when you're done with this film, after you premiere it, this is the first film you've made, right?
Yes.
Do you find that after completing the process and participating in it, is this going to be an area of interest that you might continue to pursue?
Maybe. It was fun doing this, and filming my grandma, since it was her first time being on camera too. Okay. And it's going to be her first time seeing herself in a big screen.
Right.
So I'm probably going to try and do something after mm-hmm. and going along with it, but I don't know. I don't know about now.
That's pretty exciting. I remember when I was a kid, a smaller kid, around 7 or 8, my grandparents bought me a Super 8 camera, and it was a film format, and you'd put the little roll of film mm-hmm. in the camera and make little movies, and then we had our little screen, and we'd watch our home movies, and I was so excited. That was one of the funnest things I did. And then, of course, the camera got lost.
Yeah.
In a box somewhere, you know? But film is such an important medium now. It says a lot quickly to a lot of people. The one of the groups that you work with, was it Outside the Frame?
Yes.
How was that process?
Oh, that was fun. I really liked that. That's what kind of got me into making this film mm-hmm. because I got a lot of experience off of it, and like working on the computer and like editing, putting like subtitles and doing like just like learning about like cameras and like just like filming, like made it so interesting to me. That's what led to me doing this film. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Since I got the practice of it, I thought I could like do it on my own.
Yeah, because there was another film project that they did with Alliance at Benson last year, and so you learn how to edit working on other students' projects.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't know how to do it, but I've sat with people. Mm-hmm. I'm eager to learn, and while I observe you guys doing it, I'm kind of jealous. I'm like, I want to learn that. You know?
it was fun, yeah. Like, because especially I didn't know about it, uh-huh. and I always, like, I've been into cameras a lot. Like, I want to buy my own, right. be a photographer. But, and, like, getting to know, like, how to do all of that, getting how to learn how to, like, transfer pictures into your laptop and, like, putting them into, like, videos made it so much fun. And, like, I don't know. I'm probably going to end up doing that when I, like, graduate from high school, being
That's
a photography.
Awesome. Keep at it. Yeah. All right. Well, why don't we, without further ado, premiere on News from the Boo, your documentary. What's the name of it?
Just Tan Yucatan.
Tan Yucatan?
Yeah.
All right. And you're actually going to translate for us. Do you want to say anything about it, more about it, before we start watching or listening?
I just hope you guys enjoy it.
All right.
Something new.
I'll try to not move in my squeaky chair as much.
Yeah.
All right.
Hello, my name is Ana Maria Interian, and I'm 72 years old. My life was nothing easy because we were really poor. During the time I was young, I lived with my aunt because at the age of 4, my mother had passed away. Since then, I've been alone. My aunt taught me a bit of school stuff. After school, I had to go knit in a cave just so we had a bit of money for later on in the day. I never wanted my future kids to go through that. This time has changed, and it's not like before. Back then, if we didn't knit, we wouldn't have money to buy groceries. I never got married. I ran away at the age of 16 and had my firstborn child. When my firstborn turned 1, I had my second child, and now I have 5 kids, 2 boys and 3 girls. I'm really proud of all of them, and I'm thankful to God because some of my kids got married. There's a saying that God always does something for a reason. At the age of 21, I'm so thankful with God because now I have 3 kids that live in the United States and 2 that live back in town. I lived in a really small home called Bajariquez. My home was nothing fancy. It was a really small ranch. My job was always to feed my bulls and my cows. Now I have a job at a place called La Empacadora Sipija, where we pick limes, oranges, pack them up so that it can be sold in other cities. I'm so thankful of this place because it has changed our lives and it has brought us wealth to our home. What I like most about our job is that I get to cook for the truckers that come by and pick up the packages, and cooking for them brings us extra money to us. Every year, my culture celebrates El Cristo de San Roman. They say that they have seen one of them, one of the three brothers in Campeche. They say that they've seen the youngest brother in Chumayel, and the second oldest has been seen in Zan. People say that the three brothers were seen in a boat. Not sure if it was in Campeche. I just know from my ancestors that the Cristo de San Roman were three brothers finishing up their celebration Chumayel on September 3rd. While the Christ is being taken to Tan, on the way there, if you look up in the sky, you're able to see the three brothers. In Tan, it ends on September 5th, and people say that they have seen them. But it's rare when you do see them. Campeche does the same thing, but they celebrate it bigger when do carnivals. Our traditional foods for our celebration is cochinita pibil, frijoles colado con chicharra, and usually that's something everyone usually eats on the first day. We have an event called the gremio. This usually happens on the 5th through the 6th of September. After church, everyone gets together to eat. Everyone at least brings something. Some bring the traditional handmade tortillas and relleno negro. On September 10, we celebrate Vaquería. A famous musician named Arturo Gonzalez, and a lot of people go because Arturo is an amazing musician, and that's what attracts the people. Our traditional dance is called jaranas, and a lot of girls come to this event dressed in what's called the terno, a traditional dress filled with handmade flowers. During this event, they announce the next day that they will be hosting a corrida, which is called a rodeo. This usually happens around 3, but since time change, it starts at 5.
So this is the part of the film where there's footage.
Yeah.
From when you visited your village, and there's one of the traditional bullfights.
Yeah.
Now, here's a question I have for you. Is this the bullfight, is that a Spanish tradition, or was that an indigenous tradition that the Spaniards picked up and took back?
So it was both, because I know like Spaniards did the same thing, but I'm not sure Spaniards like killed bulls in the beginning. So like in the beginning of our rodeos, they like kill a bull so that it could be sold to make food, what the traditional is called sheesh. Well, we like the food off the bowl.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's, it happens every, so a rodeo happens in a week, and every day there has to be a bull killed, and whoever's bull is killed gets the money off of it, and that's how like they obviously like go on with their, that's how they make money basically.
Right.
Yeah.
So then is there a competition like to see who's got the best bulls to enter the rodeo then?
So it has to be the bravest.
The bravest bull.
Yeah, like right now, my uncle just bought his bravest bull. Mm-hmm. And he has 5 bulls. Mm-hmm. And he's going to send this one to a little city called Mani. And if his bull, they have to bet. So, like, the people that bet and say, okay, this bull is going to win. If it wins, he gets all the money.
Wow.
And if it doesn't, then it has to get killed.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know we have a lot of animal lovers that are listeners. And I know we have a lot of people who love animals, but who eat meat and wear leather.
Yeah.
So it's kind of ironic.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, when I come here and I, like, see all the animal cruelty, like, I talk to my grandma about it, and I'd be like, if that was here, you don't know how much people would, like, start and, like, hating and, like, just start talking a lot of stuff. Because that's bad, but when you go and you see it there, then it's normal for you guys.
Yeah, different cultural realities allow us to adapt when we're not of that culture. Then hopefully, if we're open-minded and flexible and respectful, then we can experience something and not be so shocked that we just lose our minds, right?
Yeah.
Even if it's not something that we're used to or comfortable with. So your grandma still lives in Zaan?
Yes, she's visiting now.
She's visiting now, yeah. So she gets to see the premiere of the film. That's awesome. And do you think, like, when I meet people, either Black American folks who are expatriates or who permanently, you know, people who permanently left the United States, or when I meet African people here who are from different countries in Africa, I'm always wondering if people want to go back eventually after they do their time here, or for people that have left this country and lived there, I always wonder how they feel about staying somewhere else permanently, or if they want to come back here. Do you think you would ever want to go relocate and live permanently in your ancestral home?
Honestly, I would, just because how close the community is there and how reliable you could be with them. Mm. It's like family. So okay. I like my first time going to Yucatan was life changing, because it was like my first time going to somewhere that does not look like a city.
Uh-huh.
It was so like weird to me, but I felt like home because I would just walk to the corner store and everybody would be like, oh, are you Yolanda's daughter? Mm. And I'd be like, yeah. She's like, oh, like she's my cousin, or like I known her since like years ago. And they just make you like feel so like heartwarming.
Yeah.
That like it just makes you feel like home.
Yeah,
that's something like that I like, because like right now where I live, my community is so close. Like I just walk out my door and my neighbor's like, oh, like good morning. Like they just like, I just know everyone, and it just feels like home.
Yeah.
That's what I like. That's why I would want to go and move there. I always ask my grandma, like, do you like being here? She'll be like, no, like, I just want to go back. It's not the same. Like, here, you guys just stay home. If I'm at home, like, I just go, I feed my bulls. Like, I could go do this, I could go do that. It's just like, here, it's just like, you really can't do anything.
Yo, that's really cool to hear. You know, like, first of all, the experience of being home and the warmth and safety and comfort of the community that mm-hmm. you described is something that actually moved me when I listened to you say it. And then I tried to remember, wow, when was the last time I felt like that? And it was actually when I was little. And then thinking about, too, like the way that we tend to spend more time indoors right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're like, a lot of us are playing games or looking at our phones.
Yes.
Or on social media or watching TV. But when I was a kid, we were outside like
all
the time.
Me too. Like I was just talking to my brother yesterday that I miss summer, like summer nights. All my like my neighborhoods where like all the kids would come out and would just play cops and robbers like all night.
Oh yeah, all night.
And that I miss that so much, because now mm-hmm. like my youngest sister, she's 10. And she's always inside just watching YouTube videos.
They don't know what cops and robbers are.
Exactly. And I'm like, you guys are missing out. Like, that was the funnest thing ever.
No doubt. Okay, so we're gonna go forward past the bullfight at the rodeo. And we started out listening to your grandma. And then we're going to pick up. And now your mom is going to talk.
Yes.
Okay.
Hi, my name is Yolanda Cabrera Miranda. I'm from Zaan, Yucatan, and I'm 42 years old. My life in the village was amazing. I had so much fun growing up. I was very loved little girl by my parents, uncles, especially my grandparents. My life wasn't easy because I didn't have a lot of money, but we always made a way to have food on the table for everyone. Thanks to my parents' hard work, especially my mom, because she always found a way to have some sort of food to give us. She always worried for us, and even if all of us... I am the oldest out of 5 kids. I went to school until the 4th grade. And at the age of 9, my mom and my aunt got me my first job. I started working at a shoe shop for a lot of years. At the age of 15, I got another job doing embroidery, doing shirts like the one I have on. It took me to learn, and the upcoming year I had to pay the class with the money I had saved up from the class. After that, I became independent and doing embroidery by myself. It hurt me a lot to leave my culture, my family, and the people because my life in the U.S. is really different from the way we were in the country, in my country. We celebrate Motherland Week, Corridas, Vaquerias, La Virgen de Candelaria, Cristo de San Roman, and other Christ that we also celebrate. We also celebrate Posadas, the Virgin Mary. We do a lot of events, and leaving my culture behind hurt me especially. Their dances, the food, and our Mayan language. Leaving that behind and coming to the U.S. affect us a lot because nothing here is the same. We might have the same food ingredients, but it's still not the same. When I came to the U.S., I experienced a lot of great things that have, and I have a lot of great things that I never had back home. And here in the U.S., I made my own family. Now I have 5 kids, and I'm involved myself a lot in the community.
Thank you for translating for us, Sanyu Katan. That's great work, and I feel like I know you a little bit better now. And I had a question, because you're getting high school credit for this.
Yes.
As part of the project-based learning program that's happening at 3 different schools, Alliance at Benson, Alliance at Meek, and MLC. And on the 16th, which is Tuesday of April, they'll be premiering their films at the Mission Theater, and you'll be part of that. So some of the credit you're getting for this is going to be in history. Some of it is going to be in social studies and
English,
excuse me. And so you're one of the questions that came up when we were talking yesterday with your other teacher, Ken Roberts, was the relationship between Mayan culture and peoples in Mexico and the Mexican government. And how do you relate that relationship? Is it a good relationship? Let's just take it, let's not speak in broad generalizations, but just with San and your people and your village, have you ever had a understanding of the government that other people might not understand that aren't part of your culture?
The way Yucatan is, their government is their new government because they just got a new one. Mm-hmm. Now, before, it was not good at all. Like, the government did not care for them. They, like, got no help. But now it's like this new government is making so many differences, changing up schools, giving money to people. So they do this thing where if they see someone in really need, they build them a house. Mm. It's not a big house, but it's like something they could like live in. They give them like filtered water. Mm-hmm. They give them like pots mm-hmm. and like anything they need.
Wow.
And they have like their little lands where they grow like fruits and stuff like that. And they give, if they're in need of like material, they just go ask, and the government gives it to them. So now they're just getting a lot of help more than they did before, and it's better.
That's what's up. Congratulations on the completion of your first documentary film.
Thank you.
And thank you so much for coming and sharing it with KBOO on News from the Boo. Again, Angie Jimenez, and the film is called Zan Yucatan, created at Alliance at Benson with support from Outside the Frame. So I'm thinking that that's going to be on YouTube and Venmo in the future. And Zan is spelled D-Z-A-N.
Yes.
All right. Have a good day. Peace, y'all. Join KBOO. Become a member.
Great work from... excuse me. Great work from Mike Crenshaw, the amazing Mike Crenshaw.
Yeah.
Talking with the young filmmaker who is doing amazing work through Benson High School, and it's cultural coverage here on KBOO. This is amazing stuff. We are in a match period. This is the kind of material that you can support when you go online at kboo.fm or call toll-free 877-500-KBOO. We are in a match period. I'm Conch. I'm here with York Jones.
That's right. I'm here. We are in the last 5 minutes, 4 minutes of our match. We have a dollar-for-dollar match going on till the end of the hour, up to $250. Give us a call. Your $1 becomes $2. It's magic. It's the magic of community radio. 877-500-5266. Give us a call. Make your dollar stretch it double.
And you can... In fact, if you double your money right now, you can also take away a thank you gift that will be the envy of your friends around town. Take away the KBOO Radio T-shirt.
And who doesn't want to be the envy of their friends around town?
I know. Have your friends green with envy. I mean, they'll go around. You'll be...
It's the greening of America.
It's the greening of America. It's the Green New Deal
tell,
here
Tell us KBOO. What they can get to make them envious.
A KBOO Radio T-shirt. It is a multicolored T-shirt with the fabulous... tower. It's blazing out lightning in all directions.
It's radio waves.
it's there in a black T-shirt for $6.25 per month pledge of support when you become a member. And you get, and the cool thing is, like, also you just get to keep up. You get to, we never give away or sell any of your contact info, but we keep you in touch about specials that are coming up. Cool things that are happening in the community, and events like cultural events that KBOO is co-sponsoring, because this is a thing. KBOO brings people to town who maybe are not, like stadium acts, like the Rolling Stones coming around every few years to charge you $500 for a seat. No, it's like a cool little house concert that'll cost you $5 or $10, something like that. And KBOO co-sponsors that sort of thing. This is the kind of thing you support.
And even some of them are free if you can't afford it. We even do sliding scale community stuff. So let's wrap this up. So for $6.25 a month, your money becomes $12.50 a month, and you can walk away with a KBOO shirt that will turn your neighborhood green with envy. It does not get better than that.
Limited time offer.
877. It is a limited time offer. We got 2 more minutes for the match. 877-500-5266. Call now.
877-500-KBOO. This is your community radio station for the past 50 years. It's a good investment. It's a very good investment because it's been going on all this time. Let's check out some special programming that's coming up. It is special programming about the war on drugs, and this is continuing the news and public affairs that KBOO is so well known for. But call us. Remember to call us toll-free, 877-500-KBOO.
KBOO would like to give special thanks to our local community partners who've donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast was provided by Bare Bones, located at 2900 Southeast Belmont Street, serving traditional American breakfast and lunch with the view of a gallery of local artists rotating monthly, open early morning to late night. Lunch was provided by Daily Cafe, located in the Pearl at 902 Northwest 13th Avenue. With local ingredients, Daily Cafe serves breakfast, lunch, and wine spirits. Open 7 days a week from early morning to late lunch. Dinner was provided by Nel Centro, located in the Theater and Arts District at 1408 Southwest 6th Avenue. Nel Centro serves food from the French and Italian Riviera with a spacious year-round patio and private dining and meeting rooms. More information is available at nelcentro.com. For more information on how you can support KBOO, call 877-500-5266 or go to kboo.fm/give right now.
KBOO proudly co-sponsors the Portland Folk Music Society concert series, this month featuring soul, rhythm and blues, and folk singer Chris Webster. Webster draws from many genres, sometimes backing her songs on uke or even washboard, with Nina Gerber on guitars. Gerber honed her skills accompanying folk singer Kate Wolfe. She has accompanied and recorded with Carla Bonoff, Peter Rowan, Nancy Griffith, Greg Brown, and many others. The Portland Folk Music Society concert is April 19th, 7:30 p.m., at the Reedwood Friends Church on Southeast Steele Street in Portland. For more information, go to the website, kboo.fm, and click on Community Events.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. It's 6:01.
Timothy Leary lives. No, he's outside looking in. Timothy Leary